I'll fly to my home in heaven. What a wonderful day it has been to come together of one body and one spirit, to sing together, to pray together, to open God's word. What a wonderful time it has been. And I am encouraged, and I hope that you have been encouraged as well. If you're visiting with us, whether online or in person, we are thankful for your attendance here. And we ask that you get your Bibles out to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, that's where we will begin this evening. A wise king once had his men place a boulder in the middle of a road. The king took his sons to the top of a watchtower, and there they waited to see if anyone would move the obstruction. The first truck of the road were the king's wealthy courtiers. Upon reaching the boulder, the courtiers cursed the king for not maintaining his roads, and turning around, marched back in outrage. Soon after, a school of wandering monks approached the boulder, their heads bowed. This great obstruction, they lifted up their heads to the Lord and praised Him for His divine intervention, turned around, and went back. Then arose the realm, who took one look at the giant rock and, bound by duty, turned around to report the obstruction to the king. After the day progressed, many traveled the road, yet none moved the boulder. Until at the very eve of dusk, a peasant, wearied from his long and hard day's work in the fields, came upon the road and approached the boulder. The peasant laid down his heavy cart, and with the very last of his strength, he moved the boulder. And upon looking back to where the boulder stood, he found a purse filled with royal gold. The king then turned to his sons and said, "The obstacles in our path do not block the path. They are the path. It is in by overcoming our obstacles that we find our way to glory." The path that has been set before us is a path that is riddled with obstructions of various sorts which seek to tempt us, and yet by overcoming these obstructions, we find our way to the glory of heaven. Through these obstructions, our character is produced, as we read about in Romans chapter 5. We are refined, as we read about in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it enables us in overcoming these obstacles to grow, as we read in James chapter 1. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, on their way back from the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14, went through the cities that they had established these congregations, encouraging the souls, saying, "We through many tribulations must enter the kingdom of God." The obstacles in our path were warned by our very Savior. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus is concluding what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." In Luke chapter 14, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, Jesus is talking to this multitude and says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build what was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet he who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus himself in John chapter 16 mentions to us that we should not be surprised when we meet these obstacles, these obstructions. In chapter 16 of John, verse 1, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." There will be obstacles on the path that is set before us. That is no doubt. And the obstacles that we face are various in nature, and depending upon the individual, we face different obstacles, but we all face the obstacle of sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Paul, in trying to leveling out the field at the church in Rome, says in chapter 3 in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Just a couple of pages further in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 11, and in verse 22, "Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God, on those who fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off." Sin separates us from God, and the obstacle of sin can block our path to the glory of heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 12, Paul writes, "In that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." With sin, we have no hope. We are without God. That is one of the obstacles in our path. Another obstacle in our path is the obstacle of persecution. If you turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul is really boasting about the Thessalonians to the other congregations, as we see in chapter 1 in verse 4. "So that we ourselves," this is Paul speaking, "boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." Sin is the obstacle in our path. Another one is persecution. And that can range from being mocked by our faith to maybe giving in our very own lives for the sake of the gospel. Another obstacle that we face is the world. In 1 John chapter 2, we read all that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, we see, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." No more plainly can the obstacles in our path be seen as in the path of Daniel, as Brother Oscar pointed to us today, this morning. In Daniel chapter 1, we see that Daniel and his friends are ripped away from his home, put into the court of the king, and are delivered these delicacies of the king. Their obstacle was whether to become like the Chaldeans or to maintain their devotion to the Lord. In chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing up after listening to the music and everyone else is around them, their obstacle was to conform to the peer pressure that was around. Yet they did not. Not even when they were tempted with the fiery furnace. No, they stood firm. They met their obstacle. And in chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel then hears about this proclamation that no one can pray to any god except to the king. And what does he do? He opens up his windows to face Jerusalem and prays. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced their obstructions. And they faced it head on. If you would, turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 7, we see that God is pronouncing judgment upon Israel. And in verse 19, he says, "They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity." And so, like the Israelites, so the love of riches can be our obstacle. No matter the stage of life that you are in, the path that is set before you is full of obstacles that you must overcome. Whether by temptations that you endure, by physical or spiritual trials, there will be periods of time where you feel like you're on the mountaintop and can see the amazing beauty spread around, but there will be times when you're in the valley, struggling through the muck and the briars, coming upon boulders that you have no idea how you're going to get around. That is the path that is set before us. And just as in the fable that we talked about earlier, many who are traveling along their path will turn aside. Many who should have moved that boulder, the courtiers, those monks, the knight, they should have moved the boulder, but they didn't. Many who should will turn away. Yet, as the humble peasant showed us, we must assess the situation and act finding a way to the glory of heaven. And so, while this picture that I've painted for us is very, very dark and very drear and depressing, there is hope. Because we can overcome the obstacles in our path. And it requires endurance. Our theme for the year, to endure. That aspect of even if you're tired, even if you're stressed, even if you are discouraged, you keep on pressing on. Think about Paul, the apostle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul, the apostle of Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he states, "Are they Hebrews?" in verse 22. "So am I. Are they Israelites?" "So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham?" "So am I. Are they ministers of Christ?" "I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul endured the obstacles that were set before him. So it is no wonder why he is able to say, "O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory?" How could he have said that? Because he endured the obstacles. Because his mind was focused on the glory of heaven. The glory that he found going through those obstacles. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the faithful. In Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter of faith, we read in chapter 11, starting in verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. "And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead to life, others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens in the caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Brothers and sisters, there have been people just like us who have gone through the very fire because of their love for God. They have endured that obstacle in the face that their life was to be taken, or that they could just recant. They chose that their life should be taken because they knew that through the glory of heaven, it was all worth it. They overcame the obstacles that were set before them. Time would fail us to talk about Job. How in Job chapter 1 and in chapter 2, we see that this rich man, full of wealth, is taken away from him. And yet, when he is presented with the opportunity to curse God and die, he does not. But he stands firm. Through endurance, we obtain the glory of heaven, the eternity in the presence of the Almighty, because upon meeting the obstacles, they persevered our resolve and created growth. And through these obstacles, not only require these endurance, but they require growth. And our growth can be seen in our character. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans, the 5th chapter. Paul writes in verse 3, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. When we go through these obstacles, we are stronger. Our character is built up. But not only is our character built up, but our patience improve. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. James writes to these Christians to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. To count it joy to go through the obstacles that are set before us. Going through these obstacles, our growth and our reliance upon God improve. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, we are getting to the end, or Peter is getting to the end of this letter, and he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. In my line of work, I put my patients through some very hard trials. It's not because I don't care for them. It's because I want to see them improve. And when they are down, I look at them in the face and I said, if you just keep on pushing, if you keep on relying on God, you will make it through. And it's a great joy on that last day when they come in, they go, look at what I can do. God wants each and every one of us here to make it through. So let us cast our cares upon Him. Not only is our character growing, our patience, our reliance upon God, but our obedience, as we see in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. And our obedience leads to overcoming these obstacles. So how, you might ask, do we overcome these obstacles? By setting your heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. If we are to overcome, set your mind on things above. Everything that happens in this life, all the good, all the bad to you, it doesn't matter, because why are set on Christ? On the things that truly matter in our lives. The glory of heaven. In overcoming our obstacles, we must not only set our hearts, but we need to take courage. If you would think about with me, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has been kind of just given this mantle of leadership from Moses. And in chapter 1, God tells him, my servant Moses is dead. He's not coming back. It's your job now. And in chapter 1, and in verse 6, He says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. If we jump down to verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, upon accepting this mantle of responsibility to claim the promise of this land, had to take courage that the God of heaven was behind him. And so we too should take courage that the God, our Father, in heaven is behind us, strengthening us. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind." We need to set our heart. We need to take courage. But we also need to trust in the Lord, as our brother Oscar talked about this morning. In Joshua chapter 1, he's saying, "Trust in me, Joshua. Trust in me." When they go to take Jericho, it's not by strategy or it's not by superior numbers. No, it is by the Lord that Jericho fell. God wants us to trust in Him. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 22, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." In Job chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that Job fully trusted God because he said, "Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In the midst of losing everything that he held dear, he still trusted God. Another way to overcome these obstacles is by prayer. If you look back in Daniel chapter 2 and in chapter 6, and really throughout the book, when Daniel is faced with this choice of eating of the king's delicacies or of eating or following the Lord's commandment, what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. When he's faced with death the first time, because none of the wise men could tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream, what does he, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They go to God in prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. Whenever Daniel was presented with an obstacle, he knelt on his knees and he overcame. So we too, when we meet our obstacles, should pray. Not only that, but see what Daniel does. He brings in his friends, the people that have the same goal, and they strengthen each other. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood together. They faced the furnace together because they wanted the glory of heaven. In Acts chapter 12, Paul and Silas are sitting together. They're singing. You know where they are? They're in prison, bound together, encouraging one another. And when Herod had arrested Peter and thrown him into jail, what do we see but that the church came together to pray? So in overcoming our obstacles, we really need to lower our pride, to reach out to each other, to help each other. That is how we overcome our obstacles. We also need to stand firm. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, we are to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see that we need to stand fast and we need to resist him. In Proverbs chapter 27, we see that standing fast together really makes us all better. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, it states, "As iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friends." If we are to overcome the obstacles set before us, we need to do it together. To love each other enough to put aside whatever is going on in our life, to encourage each other as you all have encouraged me. Not only should we stand firm, but we should seek God. For He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, as we read about in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, we see just what happens when we seek the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29, and in verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." God just doesn't leave us out there to struggle through, to figure things out on our own. No, he sits there and he extends the hand, and all he's asking us to do is to seek him. How do we overcome these obstacles? It's by diligently seeking God. The obstacles along our path do not block the path. They are the path which leads to glory. They are like milestones. The Romans would set up milestones so that anyone traveling along the road would know how far it was to the next city or to the next town. Well, the obstacles in our path that is set before us are our milestones. They are to help us, guide us back onto the narrow path. If it's easy, if it's not hard, then we need to be asking ourselves, are we on the right path? Because the path to heaven is narrow and difficult, and there are few who find it. So let us not be discouraged. Trust me, it is very discouraging to meet an obstacle. To meet an obstacle that you look at and you ask yourself, how in the world can I do this? How can I push through? It can bring you to the very lowest point of your life. But we don't need to be discouraged. In fact, we need to glory in our obstacles, in our tribulations. I always have to sit back when I read when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin and told not to preach the name of Jesus. They were beaten, and what did they do? They went on their way rejoicing, because why? They were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. If that doesn't sit you back in your seat and make you just ponder for a little bit, then the obstacles in your path will look impossible. Yet through all things, Christ strengthens us. And we can overcome it. We can reach heaven, brothers and sisters, by following God, by praying to Him, by seeking His face. We can hear that beautiful saying, "Come to me, my good and faithful servant." We can do that if we overcome our obstacles. Let us praise the Lord for the opportunity to suffer under the obstacles of the path set before us. For in it, it will give us the opportunity to grow in our faith, to grow in our relationship and our reliance on God, and our relationship with each other. Let us glory in that. Have you been discouraged lately? Have you felt that there is no way that you can get through what you're going through? God and His Word says you can, if you endure. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 14, And it will be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. And in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The Lord is with us. The Lord is pulling for us to push through. He's extending that hand. He's just saying, just a little further. Just keep on reaching. If you have found yourself to not be reaching, to allow these obstacles to drag you down, dedicate this hour, this very hour, to look those obstacles right in the face and to have faith that you will overcome. Reach out to a brother or to a sister. Let us bond together and grow on our way to heaven. If you realize that you're not even on the path, it's a path that leads to glory. And many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many miracles? He will look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. But to those who persevered, to those who overcame their obstacles in their life, who followed God's word, he looks at them and he says, come to me, my good and faithful servant. If you have the need of the prayers of this congregation, or if you need to make your life right with God, we beg, I beg you to do that this very hour as we stand and as we sing.